The last book in the Bible and chapter number 20. Revelation chapter number 20. It's good to see you tonight. Many of you have been here every night you could. God bless you for that. And it's good to see some new faces here tonight. I hope tomorrow night we have a tremendous crowd and pray much for the service tomorrow night. Across America, the sermon I'm preaching on tomorrow night has probably been the greatest used message I preach. You want to come, but make that effort. You say, I've invited, they haven't come. I'm going to give you a word, okay? The word I'm going to use is, let me get it straight, a verb, not a noun, okay? If you're married, gentlemen, you know what this word means. The word is nag, okay? Yeah. Your wife asks you to do something, and you say no or put it off. She asks you him, you say no and put it off. Before long, what happens? You think it's your idea. Yeah, I know I'm married. I know all about that stuff, huh? Let me encourage you. Nag people about coming. You say, I invited them. If you have to, call them when you get home tonight, tomorrow on the job. Make that final effort. They might change their eternal destiny forever. Look at your Bible tonight. Revelation chapter number 20. I'll begin reading with verse number 1. I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold on the dragon, the old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed for a season. What is the next thing on God's program? It is called the rapture of the church. Jesus Christ comes in the sky, a trumpet sounds, every born-again believer is caught up in the air to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. For a Christian, that is a tremendous, wonderful time. Now, two things about people who are here on earth. Number one, if you've heard the gospel, rejected Jesus Christ, when Christ comes, you can never, ever be saved. Your Bible says, for this cause, God will send him strong delusion. They might believe a lie. They might all be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Understand that. If Christ comes tonight and the trumpet sound and you've heard how to get saved and rejected Christ, your damnation is sealed and it is settled. This is the worst time in earth's history. The sun's heat becomes intense. Men want to die and cannot die. What a horrible, horrible time. But thank God if you're saved, you will never go through that. Number one, next thing on God's is the rapture of the church. Number two, then we have, my friend, a time of judgment. A judgment follows that. And then for 1,000 years, the greatest time in earth's history. Wonderful time. My government is great. The yield of the fields is fantastic. 1,000 years. Now, wait a minute. After 1,000 years, the greatest in earth's history, what happens? Men rebel against God. My, that shows the evil hatred that men are born with is called total depravity. Yeah, now what happens next? Again, God sends judgment. And after that, my friend, we move toward the awesome end of history. How does history end? It ends, my friend, in judgment. Two, three thoughts tonight. Number one, first of all, on Judgment Day, you will see the reality of Satan. Look in your Bible, Revelation chapter 20. I'll read it again. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold on the dragon, the old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, cast him into a bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him. He should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that, he must be loosed for a season. The reality of Satan. Two thoughts. Number one, the Bible's emphatic, dogmatic. The devil is a person, as real as you are, as real as I am. Look in your Bible, please, at verse number 20. I'm sorry, verse number 1. In verse 1, there are four names given to the devil. He is called the dragon, the serpent, the devil, and Satan. Now, wait a minute. The devil is a person. Look at your Bible at verse number 3. In verse number 3, God uses a great number of personal pronouns to emphasize the devil is a person. Verse number 3, it says, cast him in the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him, that he should see the nations no more, to 1,000 years before we fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed for a season. God uses, in one verse, God uses five personal pronouns to emphasize the devil is a person. You say, okay, Brother Mark, he's a person, so what? Number two, the program of the devil. What do you want to do? What are you trying to do to you, sir? Look in your Bible at verse number three. It says that he should deceive the nations no more. Look down, please, at verse number eight. He should go out to deceive the nations. Look again at verse number 10. And the devil that deceived them. The Bible calls him the great deceiver. You say, preacher, what would Satan want to deceive me about? Your Bible tells you, God of this age, that's Satan, blind the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. Hear that, please. Hear it. Satan doesn't care how good you are, how moral you are, if he can blind you to the gospel. Now, what is the gospel? I'm glad tonight in the Word of God, we have the divine definition. That's what counts, the divine definition of the gospel. Paul said, I delivered unto you, first of all, the gospel. How that Christ died for our sin, according to the scripture. He was buried. He rose again the third day, according to the scripture. Think it through, sir. The divine definition, it starts with Christ. Has Christ in the middle, has Christ in the end. Your Bible says, he that hath the Son hath life. Question, can you point to a time in your life where you realized you were a sinner? You couldn't work or earn by your way to heaven. By an act of faith, you invited Jesus Christ into your heart to be your Savior. Apart from that, you are one heartbeat from the gates of hell and the fires of the damned. Bible salvation. I was preaching in a great church in Philadelphia, and a young man in that church invited an unsaved friend. Before the service started, another friend of that young man went to another church, came in, and the visitor he invited was not here yet, so they're staying together. And on the song service, the man he invited came in and sat on this far side of the auditorium. I preached that, and I gave the invitation. The young man he invited over here got me out to come forward and get saved. The man over here turned to the man that was sitting by him, and he said, let me out. I want to go show my friend how to get saved. He said, no. You don't understand. That's my friend coming to get saved. I want to show him how. He said, no. I'll tell you why. Please, please, please come with me. Okay. They left, went in the room, sat down. He said, how could I help you? He said, I belong to a Baptist church. Been baptized by immersion. Graduated from a Fundamental Baptist Bible College. Been in a seminary out here for 2 years. Since that man preached tonight, I realized I had never been saved. He said, I'm ready right now. Were you shocked? No, no. Why? Hear your Bible. Matthew 7. Hear it carefully. Jesus said, many, not a handful, sir. Many will say to me in that day, judgment day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name, we've cast out devils. In thy name, we've done many wonderful works. And then Christ says, depart from me. I never knew you. Think that through. Their judgment day resume. Number one, they realized Christ was divine. Two times, they called him Lord. They knew he was divine. Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied? That could be witness. Did it? These folks went soul winning, told others how to be saved, but they themselves were not saved. Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, the name of Jesus? They knew he was divine. They knew he was sent from God. Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils? Watch it carefully. And in thy name done many wonderful works. Break it down. The quantity of their works, many. The quality of their works, wonderful. Yet they weren't saved. You backslide and say, I'm going to church for television. You can't go to church for television. That's right. Let's be careful. Some guys up there in a white suit running around casting out demons. You say, boy, he must be a great Christian. This guy cast out demons and he's in hell. You have to understand. Guess this guy's credential. My, he knew about Jesus. He worked for Jesus. But he himself had never accepted Christ as his Savior. Friend, please listen. The Bible talks of a time and a place salvation. Now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. Can you point to that day? You may not know the calendar date. Buddy, you better remember the experience when you knew you were a sinner and invited him into your heart to be your Savior. Number one, the reality of Satan. He is a deceiver. Number two, my friend, follow me please. I like this. The resistance of the saints. Look in your Bible at verse number 4. I saw thrones. They sat upon them. Judgment was given unto them. I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, for the word of God, which did not worship the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their forehead, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Almost every week in this day and age, somebody comes to me, boy, Brother Mark, I'll tell you, the devil's on the loose out there. Preacher, I gotta tell you, man, this is a tough day and age to live for God. Man, things are going wild, preacher. You're just wrong. You say we've got a rough. We don't have a rough. In Bible times, Christians were beheaded because they believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. Paul was beheaded. Peter was crucified upside down. James was thrown off a balcony. Why? Because they believed that Jesus Christ was God's son. And now, wait. Okay, macho man, hear me. Imagine God got a hold of your heart tonight and you said, I'm going to live for God. Huh? What would be the worst thing happen to you? Somebody might laugh at you. Yeah, that's a good possibility. They might make fun of you. Yeah, that could happen. They might think you're strange. Yeah, they should. Ready? Wait. That's the worst. The early church shed blood for Jesus Christ. And we're ashamed somebody might ridicule us or laugh at. God give us some backbone for Jesus Christ, some courage, a feeling of the Holy Ghost that will drive us out to share the Word of God and to share the Son of God with the lost and the dying world. I'm certain that God kind of gets ashamed of us sometimes. His son shed blood. He paid the price. All he says is go tell him I've suffered their hell. And you're such a stinking coward, you won't even go tell them after the awful price he paid. What are you going to feel like, huh? What are you going to feel like? Judgment seat of Christ. Yeah. When you see men come up that gave their life, men come up, saw their families burned at the stake, men come up, were crucified. What are you going to feel like sitting back there realizing you did nothing for Christ because you were a coward? Friend, in America, we better wake up. Wake up! While we have a chance, we better get some men of God, women of God, that will be bold in their witness, in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. I was preaching Missionary Baptist Temple, Franklin, Ohio. The song leader, his name was Brother Gentry. Tall, handsome, good-looking, muscular, athletic. I'll just say this. The exact opposite of our song leader this week. Somebody say amen, all right? Anyway, Brother Gentry did a great job leading the singing, and just a wonderful guy. And he come to me Monday and said, Preacher, I'm praying. My daddy gets saved, and he started crying. I said, I'll pray with you. I did. Friday night. No, it was Sunday morning. Tremendous crowd. I think I mentioned it, 1,300 people there. They normally were 1,000. Brother Gentry come to the platform, leave the invitation him. We started singing. All of a sudden, I saw a strange thing happen in the morning worship service of a Baptist church. You won't believe this. Out loud, Brother Gentry actually said, Glory to God. We Baptists don't talk that way. I'll tell you that right now. I got scared. I moved way over here. He kept going. He started clapping his hands. He said, Praise the Lord. I thought, man, this guy's gone charismatic, okay? Man, he's rejoicing. He's laughing, clapping his hands. He's crying. The service ended before I know what's happening. He came up to me and gave me a great big hug. He wasn't my type at all. He just, wait. He comes up, he gave me a great big hug. He stepped back. He said, Preacher, the first guy got saved today was my daddy. I've been praying for him 31 years. Today he got saved. Why? Because it was praying and quitting on a 31 years, preacher, I prayed for my dad. Every day I prayed for him. And God answered prayer. He got saved. Some of you don't care enough even to pray for unsaved people. Believe me, when you sit there all safe and secure in Jesus, yes, sir, man. And you watch him be damned. Then the tears come. Then the failures, you said, doesn't God wipe away all tears? Not till later. There'll be tears on Judgment Day when you realize you were a fake and you were a phony. And you were going to heaven and you thought that's all that matters. You better hear me. If you're saved, wake up. You have no monopoly on Calvary. He died for that neighbor 90 foot from your front door. Died for that relative. Died for that co-worker. We have the stinking attitude. I'm saved. That's all that matters. God stir our heart tonight to reach out to a lost and dying world. Number three, and I'm through. In closing, we find the realization of society. Now, two thoughts about what's going to happen. When the world ends, it's a time of judgment. Look in your Bible. Revelation chapter 20. Look at verse number 11. I saw a great white throne, him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. There was found no place for them. I saw the dead, small and great, these are unsaved people, stand before God. The books were open. What are the books for? To determine the degree of punishment in hell. Your Bible talks about all unsaved people go to hell. But there are degrees of punishment in hell. Christ said to some people, they'll receive the greater damnation. Hey, buddy, you better wake up. You fake it through, pretend you're saved when you're not. Man, on that day, all the hundreds of sermons you've heard will come to condemn you and damn you. There are degrees of punishment in hell. Now, look on down. Revelation chapter 20. Look, if you would, please. And look back to verse number 12 again. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. The books were open. Another book was open, which is the book of life. The dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. You're not saved by works. Again, this determines the degree of punishment. The sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. They were judged every man according to their works. Again, the degree of punishment in hell, and death and hell were cast in a lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Two thoughts that I'm through. Number one, when this event actually happens, every unsaved person ever lives comes up, bows before Christ, and they're cast into hell. You and I as Christians will be right there. Can you prove it? The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, voice of the archangel, and the trump of God. That is the rapture of the church. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up in the clouds together to meet the Lord in the air. That's the rapture of the church. Watch it. Then your Bible says this, and so shall we ever, get that word, ever be with the Lord. The rapture of the church is 1,007 years before Judgment Day, and God said we'll ever be with Christ, including Judgment Day, not to be judged as spectators. Let me ask you a question. You're sitting there, a believer. Man, I'm glad I got saved. Whew, oh, no. All of a sudden, a hunting buddy, a fishing pal, you gave to missions. But you wouldn't walk 90 foot to knock on a neighbor's door and keep him out of hell. Christ said you ought to love your neighbor as yourself. You can't say that unless your neighbor knows how to go to heaven. What are you going to feel like sitting back there safe and secure and you watch those people be condemned to the fires of hell forever? My grandfather lived right next door to us and never had a car. Didn't have a phone either. And folks would call our house and leave a message for Grandpa. And one morning, my mother's home, the phone rings, she picked it up, and she had a message for my grandfather. About noon, a car pulled up next door in front of Grandfather's house. Mother went to the front door, looked out. Grandpa opened the car door, walked around in back of the car. For some reason, he failed to look. He stepped out directly in the path of an oncoming car. The car struck him. He went up in the air, turned halfway around, came down and lit on his head and shoulders. Mother screamed, ran out the door, got him by the ankles, drug him off the pavement, onto the curb, raced inside and called an ambulance. I got home from school that night. Mother met me at the back door, said, son, your grandfather had a horrible accident. After supper, we'll go to the hospital. Son, the doctor says, your grandpa has a 50-50 chance to live. We sit down to eat supper. The atmosphere was heavy, solemn, silent. Nobody said a word. We got halfway through the meal. All of a sudden, my mother gave a shriek. After the shriek came a sob. I looked up. I saw big tears coming down her cheeks, saying, why didn't I holler at him? Why didn't I? Wouldn't hear me, hear me. On that day, it's not going to be believed. Yeah, we heard that stuff before. Oh, no, no. When I say, why in the name of God? Didn't I at least give him the opportunity to get saved? But it's too late for you to warn them, and it's too late for them forever. Shame on you. Number two, in the awesome end of history, unsaved people realize how awful it is to be lost. My, what a horrible thing it is to be lost. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life, when you get saved, your name goes in the book of life, was cast into the lake of fire. I thought about that. There are some sounds you won't hear on Judgment Day. On Judgment Day, as billions of people stand in line, waiting their turn to stand alone before God and be condemned, you'll hear no laughter ring. No. On Judgment Day, not one man in that line. Not one. Turn the man behind him. Tell that man some filthy, dirty, vulgar story. It won't happen. On Judgment Day, you hear one sound. Men, you couldn't drag the church. Men that ridiculed the Bible, ridiculed prayer. On Judgment Day, they'll be on their knees publicly in front of God and the angels and their buddies in adultery and their drunken friends, and they're praying and begging. But on that day, it's too late to pray. But thank God tonight it's not too late to pray. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The greatest preacher I ever heard was Dr. Hyman Appleman. Heard him years ago tell a strange but true documented story. The year is 1903. And he goes for a walk by the seashore. Walking along the seashore, beautiful day. He's watching the birds fly, and man, it's just a perfect day. As he walks along the seashore, all of a sudden, he trips and falls. He stands up, not concerned about his old clothes, half-heartedly brushes some sand off, starts to walk on down. He looks back and realizes his foot has slinked through a link in a giant rusty chain the years before was used to anchor ships. He tries to pull his foot out. It won't come. He bends over, grabs his leg. He strains and pulls, but the foot remains firmly fast. He looks out and sees the tide coming in and going back out. He thinks pretty soon the cold water will be up above the ankle. The swing will go down. I'll slip my foot out and I'll be free. And the man stands there with no concern, enjoying the beauty and life. And all of a sudden, the water's up to his knee. He bends over, grips his leg with all of his strength. He pulls and strains and pulls and strains, but he cannot get it out. The man looks out, sees two men fishing. Frantically, he hollers and yells and waves his hands. They come to shore. He explains the problem. Two big fishermen grab that man's leg and strain, but my friend, it seemed like the bone itself would snap, but they can't get it out. One man said, wait a minute. About a mile down the beach, there's a blacksmith. I'll go get the blacksmith, bring him back. He'll cut the chain and you'll be free. He takes off running down the beach all the time. The tide rises higher and higher and higher and higher. Pretty soon, he returns with the blacksmith. In the big man's hand is a saw. The blacksmith wades out, kneels in the water. Now the water's up to the man's belt. He starts sawing frantically upon that chain. As the blacksmith saws, the perspiration drips in the sea. He labors and labors and... Pretty soon, the massive form of the blacksmith starts to move. He stands up, faces a man, grips his shoulder, waves the other hand out of the water, and they realize the blade has snapped. He said, sir, that chain was made to hold huge ships weighing hundreds of tons. He said, I've done the best I could. I cannot even make a nick in that chain. I'm sorry. I cannot help you. They said, what are you going to do? Stand here and watch me drowned? The fisherman said, sir, our last option. I'll go get a doctor, bring him back. Only way we can save your life is to amputate your foot. Frantically, he takes off running down the beach. The tide keeps creeping up and up and up, and it seems like forever. Pretty soon, he returns with a medical doctor. In his hand is a saw, but now the water is high on the man's chest. The doctor inhales it in his lungs, plunges his entire body beneath the waves, and starts sawing frantically upon that man's ankle. Time and time again, he breaks the water, gasps for breath, and goes back down. He works fervently. He works feverishly. He works on and on. Before long, the water around that man's leg becomes red with human blood. The doctor works and labors, and all of a sudden he stands up. I said, friend, I'm sorry. The tremendous current coming in and going back out makes it impossible to saw through the bone. He said, sir, I've done everything I can do. I cannot help you. The doctor, the blacksmith, the two fishermen walk back on shore and stand there helpless. Slowly the tide rises higher and higher. Pretty soon in desperation, the man tips his head back to keep his nose out of the water. There's a loud gurgling noise. They stand there and watch as that man drowns. That's exactly what Judgment Day is like, sir. On Judgment Day, I can't help you. A godly pastor can't help you. A Christian friend cannot help you. On Judgment Day, Jesus Christ himself can't help you. That's why tonight, before you walk out that door, not maybe, not right, not might, I'm 90% sure. No, my friend, make sure tonight, in the awesome end of history, you're safe. But you're safe in Jesus Christ. Bow your head for prayer. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. Two questions. Please be honest. Please. Question number one. Most important question you're ever going to hear. More important than a marriage proposal, a job proposal. Here it is. If you were to die tonight, do you know you'd go to heaven? I've got good news. The Bible says you can know that. That's why God wrote the Bible. I'll quote Bible to you. These things have I written unto you that believe on, not about, on, that means to trust. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Lord Jesus, that you might know that you have eternal life. You can know you're going to heaven. How? Baptism? No. The Baptist church? No. Morality? No. How? A time and a place you realize you're a sinner. You cannot save yourself. By an act of faith, you invite Jesus Christ into your heart to be your Savior. Can you point to that time? Well, no, then my friend, you're one heartbeat from hell. But tonight you can walk out with a title deed of heaven. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, who will say, preacher, I'll be honest. I'm not sure I'm on the way to heaven. And you might be a member of this church. Everybody here might think you're safe. Don't you dare. Don't you dare. Let public opinion damn you, sir. The reality will come out on Judgment Day. With our heads bowed, who will say, preacher, I'm not 100% sure, but I sure am concerned. Oh, you should be. Who tonight will say, I'm not sure? Pray for me. Could I just see your hand right now? I will not embarrass you. I will not drag you down an aisle. Preacher, I'm not sure. Pray for me. Let me see your hand. Up and right. Thank you. God bless you. Who else? I'm not sure. Thank you. Anybody else? I've seen two hands. Preacher, thank you. I've seen three hands. Is there anybody else? Brother Mark, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven, but I sure don't want to go to hell. Preacher, as you pray for three friends tonight, include me in that prayer. Anybody else? I'm looking and God's looking. Up and right back down. Don't bluff your way into hell. I'm going to ask you one more time. Wait 10 seconds and I'm going to change it. On Judgment Day, all the prayer of the universe cannot get you out of hell. Is there anybody else tonight? Last call. Preacher, I'm not sure I'm a Christian. I've got some little doubts. pray for me. Last call, 10 seconds. Up and right back down. Anyone else? I'm looking. 5 seconds. All right, your blood's on your own head. Question number two. I'm talking to Christians. How about a Christian? Are you living right? Are you talking right? Are you acting right? How about a Christian? Does that best unsaved friend even know how to get saved? That classmate, does have any idea how to escape hell and get to heaven? On judgment day, as you watch them down, the tears will come. But my friend, hear me, if you'd lived right, acted right, and showed them how to be saved, they might not go to hell. They might have gotten saved. We're not playing some kind of game. It's reality. And shame on you, Christian. Your little church died for Christ. You're such a sissy, you won't tell somebody you claim to call friend how to stay out of hell. With our heads bowed tonight, who will say, preacher, I'm a Christian. But God spoke to my heart tonight. There are things in my life I need to change. I need to have a testimony that Christ is alive. Brother Mark, I'm a Christian. But as you preach tonight, the Holy Ghost tapped me on the shoulder and brought to my mind there's friends I need to witness to, relatives, loved ones, classmates, 90 foot from my front door, a neighbor. Who tonight will say, preacher, I'm a Christian. God'll dial my number. Pray for me. I want to see your hand right now. Up in the air and right back down. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. That's great. God bless you. Another one. There are two more on my left. God bless you. Is there anybody else, preacher? I should, but no, there's no but. You should. Hear me. I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. Don't you dare sit there and say, I can't do it. Ask God to give you boldness and power and anointing, and then go out and do it for his glory tonight. I'm going to ask you one more time. Is there anybody else tonight will say either, as you pray for three unsaved people, pray for me. As you pray for a number of Christians, you could pray for me. 10 seconds. Thank you. I see it. Anybody else? Thank you, son, Father. Thank you tonight for the wonderful presence and power and anointing of the Holy Ghost on this sermon tonight. And I pray, first of all, for at least three friends, maybe more, that said, I'm not sure I'm on the way to heaven. I plead in Jesus' name. May every lie, the world, the flesh, and the devil give tonight not to come to Christ seem ridiculous in the light of an eternity forever and ever and ever in the fires of hell. Oh, Spirit of God, I pray, bring people to Christ tonight. Then I pray for a great number of Christians. I pray the decision might be made in the power of the Holy Ghost. And tomorrow they might go to friends and all the people they know with a broken heart and a heart of concern. Share Christ. Invite them to revival. And I pray tomorrow night we'll have a service that will long be remembered in this church. Listen carefully. In a minute, I'm going to have you stand. If you're not sure you're saved, listen carefully. As soon as I have you stand, don't stop. Don't give the devil a chance. As soon as you get to your feet, get out of that seat in the nearest aisle. Make your way to the front. The pastor will meet you right there. Just tell him, I'm not sure I'm saved. I don't know. I'm going to heaven. Now, what's going to happen? Nothing spectacular is what happens. Somebody will take you aside, a man with a man, lady with a lady, open the Bible and show you how to get saved. Not joining this church, not getting baptized, not saving over a new leaf, but accepting Christ. And if you want to get saved, they'll pray with you and help you receive Christ. Pastor will be right here at the front to meet you. You say, I'm a little scared. Ask the person who invited you. I'm going to give you 100% guarantee. Just turn to them and say, will you go with me? The answer will be yes. They'll come down the aisle with you, go in a room with you. Oh, how exciting. Your friend will be the first one to know you got saved, and heaven will rejoice. You're a Christian. God spoke to your heart. What are you going to do? Just be a spectator of the damned. I hope not. If God's speaking to your heart, believer, get some unction. Get out of that seat. Come to the altar. Pray for their friend. But wait, just don't pray for your friend. Pray for yourself. Say, God, give me the boldness I need, the power I need, the love I need for my friend. That's the invitation. I want you to do tonight what you frantically wish you had done in the awesome end of history.